Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Yud Chet. Today's daf has been dedicated in honor of Tuvia. Today's daf is being studied the Refuah Shelema Moshe Ben Victoria and the Le'ilui Nishmat Hadas Bat Yehudit and Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning on Yud Chet, fourth line right in the beginning of the Gemara. Let's just review quickly the statement that we had in our Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amud Bet. The Mishnah said, Bet Shammai Omrim En Shorin Diyo V'Sammanim V'Karshinim Ela Kedeh Shiyashurum Be'od Yom. Bet Shammai did not allow one to soak his ingredients for his ink or his animal food, or sammanim is his dye, me'ayrev Shabbat, because it seems what happens is once he soaks them, the materials, the ingredients, they become one. They become into a conglomerate altogether. As a result of that, the sin is lash. One is not allowed to knead dough on Shabbat. Kneading is taking flour and water and making it into one. Here, even though you're not actually kneading it, just by pouring it in, Bet Shammai is telling you that that is going to be forbidden. So we have to see which opinion holds that it's possible to do lash, to actually knead without even physically churning it. Just by pouring the ingredients together, it automatically becomes the isur of lash. Now, of course, Bet Shammai forbade this not only on Shabbat, adding these ingredients together because of isur lash. He forbade it before Shabbat if it's going to be done on Shabbat. This is based on his opinion, as we're going to see today further in the Gemara, that he holds the concept of Shivitat Kelim. That just like you're not allowed to do Melacha on Shabbat, your Kelim, your vessels are not allowed to do Melacha for you on Shabbat as well. And therefore, even though technically you set up everything from before Shabbat, but it's working, your vessels are working for you through Shabbat, so that is Asur, as we will see. But the point is, we're learning over here the Isur of Lash, of kneading, and we're seeing over here that it's possible to be over lash without physically kneading the mixture. So the Gemara says, "Man tana nitinat mayim l'dio zuhi shiriatan." Who is the tana that holds that just by adding the water to the dio, to the ink, Zuhi Shriyatan, this is considered its soaking? That she explains, the afalpi shelo gibel hadyo, even though you didn't actually need it, Zuhi Shriyatan, that's considered its soaking, v'avi lisha didebach, and that is considered its lisha, that is considered its kneading, even without actively churning it with the hands, as I said, u'mehayev mishum lash. And you're going to be hayav from the melacha of lash, kneading. I'm continuing in Nashi. Leka gibul. Ve'afli gubam be'odjo. Mechlal de b'shabbat hayav hatatu. She's, the whole argument in our Mishnah is, are you allowed to set it up before Shabbat? But everybody agrees, if you did this on Shabbat, you're going to be hayav hatat. She's, the machloket betelel and betshamay in the Mishnah is, can you set it up before Shabbat, if it's going to go through Shabbat or not? Bet Hillel says, if you started from before Shabbat, I don't care if it goes through Shabbat, since you set it in motion from before Mutar. He doesn't hold of Shevitat Kelim like we're going to see. But Bet Hillel would agree, on Shabbat itself, to add the ingredients together, Asur. What's the Isur? Hatat. Isur Hatat, Hayav Hatat, what's the Hayuv? Lash. Lash? What did you lash? You just added ingredients together. But it's actually knead it with your hands. So we see there must be opinion out there that holds to be lash, you don't actually have to knead the things together. Just by adding the ingredients sometimes, that is the gibul, that is the bringing it together, that is the kneading. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Yosef, Rabihi. The author of that opinion is Rabbi. How do we know? The Tanya, because we have a braita, Ehad noten et hakemach. One guy added the flour. Ve'ehad noten et hamayim. And another guy added the water. Ha'acharon hayav. The last guy is hayav, meaning once the guy adds the water to the flour, at that point hayav. What do you mean? He didn't need it. He just added the water. Doesn't matter. To be hayav lash, according to the B, you just have to put the ingredient, the major ingredient, in this case would be, let's say, the water, to make the gibul, to make the kneading, to make the attachment, starts the connection, hayav. So that's the author of our Mishnah. That once you put the ingredients together, it's lash. Now, divrei Rabbi, that's Rabbi's opinion. Rabbi Yosef omer, eno hayav ad sheyegabel. He says, no. You're not hayav until you actually need it. Amar le'abaye, so Abaye says, v'dilma, maybe, ad kan lo ka'amar Rabbi Yosef ela bekemach. Maybe Rabbi Yosef only argues by the case of flour, debar gibulu, because it's kneadable, with a K, which means bar gibul, in order to make the dough, you need to actually, with your hands, make the gibul, make the connection, and make the do the kneading. That's why over there he says you're not hayav until you actually make the kneading. Aval dio. But when it comes to the ink case, the lav bar gibulu, that does not need, does not necessitate the kneading, maybe he'll agree. Which means, you don't see Rabbi talking about a case of ink. Rabbi Yosef, you don't see him talking about a case of ink. Rabbi Yosef, the one that argued on Rabbi, talked about a case of flour. There he said, you have to actually knead it beyadayim. Okay, because the way the flour and water work, if you don't mix it beyadayim with your hands, you're not going to get a consistency. There he said you have to beyadayim. But maybe you'll agree, by the case of the adding the ingredients of the ink, you don't need to actually mix it with your hands in order to get them to become one. So just because you saw his opinion by Kemach, who says that he'll hold by Dio, and therefore you consider our Mishnah is going like Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef. That's Abaye's contention. Why did you just say our Mishnah is going like Rabbi? Our Mishnah could be going like Rabbi Yosef as well. Comes the Gemara and says, "Lo sal kadatach." Well, I would not think that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yosef. Detanya, because we have another beraita that says, "Ehad noten et ha'efer." One fellow adds efer. Efer would be ashes. Ve'ehad noten et ha'mayim. And one adds water to ashes. You're making some type of concoction that needs ashes and water. So one guy adds, puts the ashes in. The second guy puts the water in. Ha'acharon hayav. Again, Rabbi's devreh Rabbi. Rabbi says that the second guy is hayav. Once already you add the water, so now you made the mixture. That's the gibul. That's the lash, and you hayav. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yosef said, ad sheyegabel. Now, even in that case, you have to actually make the gibul, you have to make the kneading with your hands. Now, at this point, we're assuming that efer and dio are similar. Which means, even by a case of efer, where you're adding the water, it's not enough according to the Biyoseh, you actually have to, with your hands, mix it up. So we're saying, therefore, the Biyoseh doesn't only say his rule by flour and water, he said his rule also by ashes and water. And therefore we're saying that just like by ashes and water, he says you have to actually mix it up, so too by the ingredients of the Dio, you're not going to be Hayav until you actually mix it up. And therefore that cannot be our Mishnah. Our Mishnah must be going like Rabbi, that says what? Just by adding the ingredients, you're Hayav. So the Gemara says, hold it. V'dilma may efer. Who told you, maybe when it says in that braita efer, afar. Maybe efer is synonymous with the word afar. What is afar? Dirt. Debar gibulhu. Now dirt is like flour in the sense when you mix it with water, you need to actually, with your hands, knead it to make it together. Meaning it's possible to do kneading to it. So therefore, again, you have no proof that the author of our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yosef. Because I can tell you, yes, Rabbi Yosef gave an opinion by Efer. But you know what Efer is? Efer equals Afar. And Afar is like flour. And therefore he says you have to actually knead it. But maybe a case by Dio that doesn't necessitate actual kneading, just by adding it together, it's possible to say, he'll agree, that you hayab just by adding the ingredients. So the Gemara says, wait. Vehatanya efer, vehatanya afar. We have one braita that says efer and one braita that says afar. So we have another braita that talks about mixing afar. So from the fact that we have two braitot, that must teach us that when it says efer, it means efer. And when it says afar, it means afar. Don't try to answer me up and tell me, oh, when it says efer, efer equals afar. We have a separate braita that talks about the mixing of afar. And therefore, let's finish the thought process. If you tell me when it says efer, it's efer, and efer is similar to dior, and still the bio says telling you what, you actually have to need it to be adayim with your hands, so therefore the author of our Mishnah cannot be Rabbi Yosef, it's only Rabbi. So the Gemara says, no. Midi gabe hadade tanya. Did it say these braita? Did this, these braita, was it one braita? Which means, did the braita say efer and afar? No, these are not one braita. They weren't said next to each other. These are two separate braitot. Which means, if they were written in the same braita, efer and afar, then we have to say they're two different elements over here. You cannot say they're the same. The braita, one braita is not going to put efer and afar if they're the same thing. They're two separate braitot, which means we have certain braitot, as Rashi tells us, from Rav Chiya. He was the author of a lot of braitot. And we have a lot of braitot written by a rabbi called Rav Oshaya. Those were the main two rabbis that authored the braitot. So therefore, one braita came from Rav Chiya and used the word efer. When Rav Oshaya wrote a braita, he was talking about the same thing, but he called it afar. But I can really tell you, they're synonymous. And therefore, with these words interchangeable. Really, they're both talking about afar. So one rabbi called it afar, and the other rabbi called it efer. But the point is what? It's like kemah. And therefore, if that's why the B.O.C. said you need to actually mix the ingredients, the flour and the water, be adayim to be hayab, and it's not enough just to add them. However, by dior, which is a different consistency, just by adding them already, that's the gimul, that's considered the lash. So therefore, Abaye succeeded to prove that the author of our Mishnah is not only Rabbi. The author of our Mishnah can also be Rabbi Yosef. Now let's review the thought process of the Gemara very quickly. The Gemara right away saw from our Mishnah, it's enough once you put the ingredients together, that in the diyod, what do they put together? They put some of that soot, we said, that black soot they would add to the to make the dye or to make the ink. And then they would add some water, some oil, different things. And the isud in the Mishnah that we were discussing was lash. Because you're putting the ingredients together and making them into one unit. Megabel is the same thing. You're making a cohesive unit. But our Mishnah did not discuss anybody actually physically kneading it. Our Mishnah discussed just adding the ingredients. And the argument in our Mishnah was, could you do it me'ayreb Shabbat? Going into Shabbat. Bet Shammai said, you can't, because your kelim are working for you on Shabbat. Bet Shammai said, no, it's a matter. Kelim is not in Yanav Shevitat Kelim. Fine. But we all agree on Shabbat if you do it. We all say it's Asur. Hayav Hatat. What's the Hayav Hatat? You didn't do anything. You just added ingredients together. What's the opinion that says it's enough just to add ingredients together, and that's because that's considered the Isur of Lash? So the Gemara said, Rabbi. It's clearly Rabbi. Because even by flour and water, Well, you can knead it and make it into dough. Rabbi says the guy that adds the water, just by adding the water, you're guilty. Abaye came along and said, it's even Rabbi Yosef, by the way. Because Rabbi Yosef only said his law of actually physically kneading by cases that kneading does something, like dough. But who says he said it by ink? Oh, he said it by efer. No, efer is afar. What do you mean? We have two brayta. Exactly, two brayta. One is Rabbi Hayah, and one is Rabbi Oshaya. And they both could be talking about the same thing. So according to Abaye, the Mishnah can be going according to Kulei Alma, everybody. But one thing you certainly see from this sugya, Rav Moshe Feinstein points it out, in the Grot Moshe, that the melacha of lash does not only apply to things that grow from the ground. Gidule karka. Certain melachot, for example, tehina, grinding, only applies to things that grow from the ground. That's the Gemara is going to say. However, here lash, we're talking about ink. You know, we're talking about different cases like that. Efer doesn't grow from the ground. So you see, lash is a more expansive melacha. You can be hayav chatat even without gedule karka. Comes the Gemara and continues. Right, when they made the dyes. Either way, they made the dyes, yeah, or they made the dough. Because they made lechem apanim. They needed to make the lechem apanim. We will see there's a great machlok when we get to the melachot. Where exactly do we learn the melachot from? Do we learn it from the construction of the Mishkan or the functionality of the Mishkan? Comes the Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan, we have a braita. Potkin mayim legina erev Shabbat im hashecha. We're talking about things that are done erev Shabbat now. So the first thing it says in the braita, potkin mayim, that she says, potkin, you're allowed to open a little hole into the field, and that it's actually a furrow you're digging from the river. So as the river's flowing, it'll go into that inlet and then go into the person's field. If you look at picture 188 in your Perush Hai, you see here, you have the guy's Mamayan, you have a field over there. He digs a little inlet from before Shabbat, so the water is diverted and it goes into his field to serve as irrigation. So they're allowing you to do that Erev Shabbat, even though on Shabbat now it's going to irrigate his whole field. So again, Tanu Rabbanan, potkin mayim legina Erev Shabbat im hashecha, before it gets dark, umitmalet veholechet kol hayom kulo. And it's able to fill his field the entire day. Even though if you would do that on Shabbat, you would be hayav mishum zoreya. Planting is one of the isurim on Shabbat. Watering a field is isur of zoreya. Second thing, umanihim mugmar tahat hakelim. You're allowed to place the coals that they used to put in a special dish, as we see in picture 189. They would have a certain dish that we're going to learn that was called an ardasak, that was a keli that was perforated, had holes on top. They would put coals in the keli, they would light the coals, and a fragrant smell would come out of it, and they would put their garments above it, and the odor of the smoke would smoke their garments and give it a good smell. Now obviously doing this on Shabbat is asur because of havara, because you're making a fire. But the Mibraita is telling you, Me'erev Shabbat, you can set up the coals in this special keli in order to do that. That's called the Mugmar, those coals. And it says, Umit Gamrim Ve'olchim Kol Hayom. And you're able to smoke the clothes the entire day of Shabbat Kulo, since you set it up from before. That's the second case. Now go to the third case. Umanihin Gofri Tahat HaKelim. Umitgafrin veholchin kol haShabbat kula. What they used to do is they used to take sulfur, that's gofrit, and they used to also light the sulfur, and the black smoke would come up. They would take their silverware and they would put it over the sulfur, and it would sulfurate the kelim, which means it would blacken the areas that were indented. For example, if a person had silver kili with a flower on it, indented in it, or different designs, so it would blacken that area, so it would stand out, so you're able to see the design. So that was called sulfurate the kelim. So you could do that for before Shabbat, even though it's happening on Shabbat itself. Umani'in kilor al gabeha ayin. Kilor is a certain ointment that they used to place on the eyes. Now, in this case we're saying you could place this ointment called kilor before Shabbat. Now, even though it would be asur to do it on Shabbat itself, since you put it before Shabbat, it's okay. Now, what's the isur of kilor? Either refuah, Hakamim said it's forbidden on Shabbat to do anything that is a remedy, a refuah. Why? Because they were concerned if they allow you to involve yourself in taking medicine on Shabbat, you might come to grind the spices. In the olden days, even till today, the way you make the medicine is you take the different herbs and you take the different ingredients and you grind them together into a fine flour and you put in a capsule and you take it. So they were worried, if we let you take medicine, you might come to actually grind. So kilor is a medicine. So the hadush of the bright is, take the kilor from before Shabbat, put it on your eye, and so you don't, and even though it's healing you through Shabbat. The Rosh learns a different understanding. He says the kilor was like a paste, and therefore the isur on Shabbat would be meshiha. She's not allowed to take a paste, and which is just like a solid form, and smear it and turn it into to loosen it. That would be the isur of memahek. So therefore, either it's refuah or memahek. In any event, umanihin kilor al gabayin ve'ispalanit al gav makkah. Ispalanit would be a bandage. Person is allowed to put a bandage on his makkah from before Shabbat, even though on Shabbat itself, putting such a bandage would represent refuah, healing. And if Shabbat, it is okay. Umitrapet veolechet kol hayom kulo. Aval, however, en notnin chitin letoch arehayim shel mayim. One thing you can't do before Shabbat, you can't place the wheat into the millstone that's being run by the water. Ela bechtesh yitchanu mebe'od yom. So long as you place it in the millstone, the grinder from before Shabbat, so it'll grind the wheat from before Shabbat. But to set it up that the water is going to turn the mill and it's going to grind on Shabbat, that is forbidden. If you want to see your millstone, it's in 190. 190, you see the water millstone, which is a stone that's in the water. It's actually like a wheel that's in the water. The water current, as it flows, turns the wheel. And that wheel subsequently is connected to a rehayim, a grinder. And as it turns, it's like a machine. It turns and it turns the wheel, and that wheel causes the wheat to be ground. Irashi gives us actually the rehayim of the animal. It's rehayim shel chamor. That's picture 191, where they would tie a chamor to a wheel, and he would just walk in circles all day long, and that would turn the grinder, and that would grind the wheat. That's the Hayim Shel Hamor. Now, it's obvious that the Hayim Shel Hamor is asur on Shabbat, because just like you're not allowed to do work on Shabbat, your animals are not allowed to do work on Shabbat. So that's why the Gemara chose the case of the Hayim Shel Mayim. Now, that's already a Hidush, because it's not your animals, it's the water. And still they're telling you, you can't do that on Erev Shabbat, unless it'll be finished by Shabbat come. Now, obviously we're going to have to see the difference. Why all these other things we allowed you to do before Shabbat, even though they're going to go through Shabbat, and when it came to grinding for some reason, they forbade you to do it on Erev Shabbat, unless the melacha will be done. She says, why should it be different than the guy opening his water in order to irrigate his field? It's irrigating on Shabbat. There we said, no, you started before Shabbat, no problem. So I started before Shabbat also when it came to the grinding. There they said, no, now you have to finish it before Shabbat. It has to be ground before. So the Gemara asks, my tama, what's the reason? Why by the grinding, by the mill, we're more mahmir? So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rabba mepenesh mashmaat kol. No isur, because it's noisy. It's the way the Lashon of Hazal called it, Avsha Milta. Avsha Milta means it's a noisy thing. And what's the problem with doing something noisy on Shabbat? Because it takes away from the kavod of Shabbat. It's a zilzul, as she says, for Shabbat. It's disrespect for Shabbat, which means all these other things. Yeah, you set up the smoke before Shabbat. The smoke doesn't make any noise. You didn't do anything on Shabbat. It's from before. Let it smoke your clothes. No problem. But the millstone is grinding. So now you have to hear the whole Shabbat, the noise. That's not kavod Shabbat to do a melakah, even though you did it before Shabbat. But there's a noise factor. And therefore the Gemara says, "Mipnei hashma'at kol." So comes the Gemara and says, "Amar le Rabbi Yosef." Rabbi Yosef says, "Velem amor mishum shevitat kelim." Why don't you just give a different reason? Why don't you say that it's asur because of the isur called shevitat kelim? That just like you're not allowed to work on Shabbat, you're not allowed to have your vessels work for you on Shabbat. Now, where do we know this isur of shevitat kelim? Detanya, because we have a braita. Ubchol asher amarti alechem tishameru. It says in the pasuk that in all the things that I commanded you, you have to be careful. Now, how do we know this is talking about on Shabbat? So Rashi comes and tells us that before that pasuk it says, "Lema'an yanuach shorecha v'chamorecha." It's talking about the isud of Shabbat. So it says you have to rest, your animals have to rest, and then the pasuk comes along and says, "Upchol asher amarti alechem." So what's the upchol asher amar? What's the upchol coming to include? It's even coming to include kelim. The Sfat Emet says maybe the Rasha comes from the word upchol, which sounds like the word keli. And therefore, we're seeing what? That there's an inyan from the Torah, shvitat kelim, that your kelim should not work for you. So what do you have to create for me a new reason why you can't use the millstone because it makes noise? Just say simple, because bottom line, your kelim are working for you over the Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Ela amad av Yosef. You know what? Rabbi Yosef rejects the noise answer and says, you know what the real reason why you can't use the millstone on Shabbat? From before when you set it up, Mishum Shevitat Kelim. Because of Shevitat Kelim. Oh, now we run into a problem. Because what about all the other things that you're doing before Shabbat? Which means, didn't you put the Mugmar in the Keli in order to have it smoke the vessels? Didn't we say you're allowed to sulfurate your Keli? That's also you're putting it in a Keli. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'ashta de'amart lebet Hillel, itlihu shevitat kelim de'oraita." Now that you're telling me that Bet Hillel must hold shevitat kelim is de'oraita, because this braita must be going like Bet Hillel, because he's allowing you to do things from before Shabbat, going into Shabbat. Bet Shammai does not allow you to do that. So the author of this braita that allows you to do all these things erev Shabbat has to be Bet Hillel. And we're telling you still Bet Hillel holds what? Shevitat kelim is the oraita, and that's why we don't let you set up the millstone, the water mill from before Shabbat. So hold it. Be consistent. Gofritu mugbar mai ta'ama sharu. So then why do you allow you to do the gofrit, the sulfurating the keli, or the mugmar, which bottom line, they're sitting in a keli. So that should also be asur. I don't have a problem of the case of the watering your field. It's not a keli. Your keli, you're not doing anything. You just made a hole in the ground, a furrow, and the water's going through. No problem of shevitat kelim. I don't have a problem of putting the ointment on the eye before Shabbat. No keli. However, here, by the mugmar, we have this ardasak that we talked about. That special, your perforated keli that you stick the coals in. So just like you're telling me you're not allowed to set up the millstone before Shabbat because the mill is working for you. So I can bet they'll say you can use the mugmar. That's the question. So the Gemara says, "My tama sharu." What's the reason why they allowed it? So the Gemara answers, "Mishum delo ka'avid ma'aseh." Oh, so now we're giving differences. The keli in that case of mugmar is not doing anything. It's passive. It's just sitting there. The coals are doing the smoke. It's stationary. Oh, but the mill, it's turning. It's working. So now we're making differences in the story of Shivitat Kelim. Which according to Beit Hillel, not all Shivitat Kelim is Asur. Only Shivitat Kelim where the Kelim are actually in motion. Then already it's forbidden. No. But for a Kelim just to sit there with coals in it, that's not considered your Kelim are working for you. The Gemara has to hold it. Unin shel pishtan maitama sharu. He said in the Mishnah, Beit Hillel allows you to take bundles of pishtan, flax, stick them in the oven before Shabbat in order to heat them up. That was the process of bleaching them. They used to become whitened from that. Now it's assumed to do that on Shabbat because you're bleaching. Bleaching is one of the 39 melachot, melabin. However, before Shabbat it's okay. Beit Hillel says, oh, what do you mean? Your oven's working for you on Shabbat. We use the oven, bottom line is, it's doing something on Shabbat. Shavitat Kelim. He answers the same answer. Mishum delo avid ma'aseh. Again, the oven per se is not doing anything. The oven is just holding it in there. It's the coals in the oven. It's the, the fire in the oven. But it's not the oven per se. The oven's a candy. The oven's just a vessel that's sitting stationary. So therefore, it is the same answer. I mean, the Tosafot says the Mishnah or the Gemara could have asked some other cases of the Mishnah as well. Beit Hillel allowed you to put stuff, the dio. He allowed you to put the ink or the dye or the animal food into the keli before Shabbat with the water in it, even though it's going to be lash over Shabbat. I'm going to give an answer in that case. Because there it was obvious the keli is passive. There for sure, just sitting in the keli. But the oven case, maybe the oven contributes to the situation. Or maybe because in the case of the Dior, it didn't mention that you're putting it in a keli explicitly. It just said shorin or en shorin dior. However, by the oven case, it clearly says unin shel pishtan betanur. So therefore, since it clearly mentioned that you're putting it in the keli, so it asked from that explicit case. But it could have asked then according from from the other cases. Well, bottom line, the ultimate answer is passive. Stationary, no problem. Comes again when it says, and it's just resting there in the oven. The oven is not actually doing an action. Oh, so the Gemara asks, Mitsudat Hayave Ovedagim. What about the traps? The traps of the animals, the birds and the fish. The Kavid Maaseh. Maitamasharu. What's the reason why they allowed it? Which is one of the things Beit Hillel said you could do is set up traps from before Shabbat. Now, how does a trap work? Either the animal goes on the trap and it snaps it, it closes shut to catch, like a mouse trap, for example, it snaps. Or you have, let's say, like a trap that they catch the birds, where they walk into like a box and they set up a contraption and it shuts on them. If you look at your pictures in 192 and 193 in Pirush Chai, he gives you the different traps that the Gemara assumed that we were talking about, where you see, the flap closes on the bird, or the dog comes and it catches it in the, in the trap that closes on it. The point is, it's doing an action. So I can bet they'll allow it. Gemara says, Hatam Nameh. There also, the cases of the Mishnah talking about, Belehi Vekukri. It's talking about, Lehi would be a fish hook, as you see in 194, the kukri, the lo kavid maase. What is a kukri? If you see 195, what they would do is they would put like a basket-like item hanging into the water. The head of the basket was narrow, and the opening of it on the other side was wide. So the fish would swim into it and get his head stuck at the narrow part. Now when the fish would try to backtrack out of it, his gills would open up and it would get stuck in the basket itself. So that would be the trap that we're talking about. Now both these traps are not doing anything. Which means it's the fish that's biting the hook. It's the fish that's swimming into the trap. It's not closing on him. It's not making any motion. So therefore, the tilal that allowed you to do trapping from before Shabbat, even though it's going to happen on Shabbat, was talking about passive traps that are not actively snapping and closing on its prey. Why? Because Betelel was saying whole Shevitat Kelim. But what type of Shevitat Kelim? Active Shevitat Kelim. So comes the Gemara and says, yeah. But now that we have a statement from Rav Hoshaya that said, "Amar Rav Aseh in the name of Rav Aseh, man tana shevitat kelim deoraita." Who is the opinion that holds shevitat kelim is deoraita? Who is the author of that opinion that says your kelim are allowed to work from you for you, and that's Yisuf from the Torah? Bet Shammai hi velo bet Hillel. He says da. That opinion of Shevitat Kelim is Bet Shammai. Bet Hillel does not hold of Shevitat Kelim at all. And therefore, doesn't matter if the Keli is active, if it's passive, Kelim are not Asur so long as you set them in motion from before Shabbat. So who's the opinion that holds Shevitat Kelim? It's Bet Shammai. And that Braita that we learned just now that said you're not allowed to set the mill in motion from before Shabbat, that is going like Bet Shammai. Oh, so now the question is, we have to figure out, what about all the other cases then? Why did he allow you the Mugmar and the Gofrid, all the other cases? If he's telling you Shevitat Kelim is Asur Deoraita, the Gemara says, Ve'lo Bet Shammai Ben Ka'avid Ma'aseh Ben Delo Kavid Maaseh Asur. And Bet Shammai is very strict. Whether the keli is doing an action, whether it's not doing an action, he holds it is Asur. Now, the Bet Hillel, Afagav the Kavid Maaseh Share. And Bet Hillel is the other extreme. Even though the keli is doing a Maaseh, Mutar. Ah, the Hashtag Amad the Bet Shammai Afagav the Lo Avid Maaseh Asur. Now that you tell me that even though the keli is not doing an action, it's asur. Iache, we turn to the amud bet mugmar the gofrit. My tama sharu bet shamai. How are you going to answer mugmar and gofrit? You put the mugmar in the ardasak in that keli. It's smoking on Shabbat. True, the keli is not doing anything. It's just passively sitting there. But you just said according to bet shamai, doesn't matter. So therefore, how do you allow you to do that from before Shabbat? How do you allow you to sulfurate your silver? You're also putting the sulfur in a keli and you're lighting a fire, and then the keli is passive, it doesn't matter. Answer, hatam manach a'ara. We have to say that the case is talking about where you placed it on the ground. It's not in a keli. You took the coals of the mugmar and you put it on the floor, on the karka, on the ground, and you lit them. And you put your suit over it. There's no kelim over here. Agree. Bet Shammai will tell you, if you put it in this keli, asur. But where did I put it? On the ground. Oh, so maybe you'll tell me, maybe there's a concept of shivitat karka. Maybe you just like you have shivitat kelim, you can't, your ground can't work for you. Says Fatemet, that can't be. Because then you'd never be allowed to plant anything according to Bet Shammai. Because everything you plant during the week, bottom line, is growing on Shabbat. So what are you going to tell me now? According to Bet Shammai, I can't plant wheat ever in his life because it's going to be plant, growing so much because his ground is working for him on Shabbat? Well, that for dies cannot be shivitat karka. But there is the farot shivitat kelim. Therefore, in these cases, on the karka. So comes again what it says, hold it. Gigit v'ner v'kedera v'shfud. My tama sharu bet shamai. We have over here four cases. These four cases, it's clear that Bet Shammai agrees that are permissible. What are the four cases? Number one is gigit. Gigit is making beer in a barrel. The way they used to brew beer was they would take the barley, like they still do today, and they would soak it in a vat of water, and the process took at least 8 days. So therefore, for sure, this had to happen one of the days on Shabbat. And the Rishonim understand that the Isur over there would be Zoreya. Because when you take a seed or a like a Seorim wheat ball, you put it in water, it causes it to grow, causes it to expand. So therefore, and we know Bet Shammai allows you to make beer. What do you mean, Shevitat Kelim? It's sitting in your vessel through the Shabbat. That's case number one. Case number two is Kedera. I'm sorry, case of Duzner. Bet Shammai allows you to light a lamp from before Shabbat. Now what is a lamp? You have a receptacle. There's oil in it. There's a wick. Shavitat keli. The keli has a light in it. Clearly, but Shammai allows you to light there on Shabbat. Allows you to have a candle in your house on Shabbat. Number three, kedera. Kedera is putting your pots on the fire before Shabbat. Shihiya, you're allowed to put in certain conditions your pots on the fire, leave them sitting on the fire over the Shabbat to keep them warm. What do you mean? Your kiddie now is sitting on a fire. It's doing something made of Shabbat. But if on Shabbat itself, you cannot put, let's say, certain foods on the fire. And Bet Shammai allows you to do that. What happened to Shemitat Kelim? Last case, Shfud. Shfud is actually a spit where you're putting meat on it before Shabbat, sticking it into the oven and letting it sit in the oven. How does he allow you to do that? Oh, Shemitat Kelim. So the Gemara answers, Demafkar lehu afkude. The Bet Shammai will tell you, the case is talking, where you made those kelim hefker. Before Shabbat, you went and said, these items are ownerless, hefker, they're not mine. Once you make such a declaration, they're not your vessels anymore. And therefore, for example, the guy was brewing his beer. Your kelim, not my kelim. What do you mean your kelim? Yeah, the kelim is not mine. I made a declaration. This kelim is hefker. So it's a loophole. Once you make the thing hefker, Torah says, well, hefker, not your kelim, not your problem. That's the way that Shir Tosfot learned. Tosfot even says, normally the way to make hefker is, you need to go in front of three people to make the declaration. He says, here, since it's clearly understood that you don't want this kelim to be yours, so we don't have any doubt that your hefker was done belev shalem, full-heartedly. Why do you need three people normally when you make an hefker? You have to do it in front of three people. So everybody will know your intent is really to make your property ownerless. Otherwise we say, well, maybe we don't trust the guy. Why would a guy want to make his goods ownerless? But in this case, if he doesn't make it ownerless according to Bet Shammai, he makes it yisur from the Torah. So therefore, it's obvious, even without making a verbal declaration, just in his heart, the assumption is he made a hefker because we know he doesn't want to make the yisud. The Ashba has a different understanding. Ashba says the guy himself doesn't even have to make an hefker. Beddin makes an hefker then, based on the principle Beddin hefker hefker, which means hefker Beddin hefker, which means Beddin has the right in order to save a person, let's say, from an yisud, to come along and step in and say that item is ownerless. Because Beti knows the guy would rather have his thing ownerless, know that he doesn't make a Isur of Shabbat. So even if the guy doesn't know the law of Bet Shammai, he don't know anything, he's making his beer. Does he know? He's a brewer. What does the guy know? So the answer is, Beti will handle that for you. So either the Hefker is done by the guy, that's the way Rashito's falling, or the Rajma is being done by the Beti. But the point is, that's the way he gets out of the problem. Comes the Gemara and continues. Man, Tana lehadetanu rabanan. Who's the author of the following braita? Lo temale isha kedera asesiyot veturmosin. A lady should not fill a pot with asesiyot veturmosin. These are types of beans that take a very long time to cook. Vetaniyah letokatanu erev shabbatim hashecha. She should not put these beans into the oven on Erev Shabbat, right before Shabbat, the imnatnan, and if she did it, and if these items are cooking throughout the Shabbat, the Motzei Shabbat Asurin, you're not allowed to eat the beans on Motzei Shabbat Saturday night, b'chdesh she'asum. You have to wait until the time that it would take to make them if you started up on Motzei Shabbat. You cannot benefit from the fact that they got cooked over the Shabbat. That's b'chdesh she'asum. You have to wait to the time that they could be made. Kayosebo, similarly, lo yimale nachtom aba chabit shel mayim. The baker should not fill a chabit shel mayim, a barrel of water, and place it in the oven on Erev Shabbat, im hashecha, in order to heat up the water. And if he did it, the Motzei Shabbat, Asurim, Motzei Shabbat, when you take out this hot water, you cannot benefit from it. You have to wait until the time you could have heated it up on Motzei Shabbat. So the Gemara wants to know, who's the opinion of this statement? It seems that it would be Bet Shammai. Why? Because bottom line, your kelim are working for you on Shabbat. He doesn't want you to stick this kelim of turmosim in it. it's cooking throughout the Shabbat, means your kelim are cooking on Shabbat, or your habit is being boiled on Shabbat in the water, must be bet shamayim. Who can it be? So comes the Gemara and says, no. Afilu tema, we can even say, bet elil. Oh, how can this be bet elil? Gezerah shema yachte begehalim. New issue. Nothing to do with shibitat kelim. New gezerah. I don't want you to put these beans in the oven on Shabbat because you might come to stoke the coals. Why would I stoke the coals? Because these things take a very long time to cook. I want them for Motzei Shabbat. I don't want to wait Motzei Shabbat for my for the beans. So then what is he going to do on Shabbat? In order to speed up the process, he might come to start stoking the coals in the oven in order to make it hotter, in order to quicken the bishul. So different item, nothing to do with Shemitat Kelim. From the Shivitat Kelim aspect, mutar. My Kelim can work for me on Shabbat. I set it up before Shabbat, but not on an oven. Because on an oven you have a new issue. You have the issue of Sheme Yachte. You might come to stoke. Iyache Mugmar Vigofrit Name Ligzor. So if you consider it, you're scared about stoking. So why don't you make the Gezerah Betila by the Mugmar? What is Mugmar? Coals that are Sime Keli. Why don't you be worried that what the guy might come to stoke the coals to get the smoke to come out? Gemara says, no, hatam lo machtelehu. Over there by the mugmar, he's not going to stoke. Why? Because if he does, salik behu kutra. Black smoke is going to come out, which means you don't want so much smoke to come out. It's going to ruin the garments. Therefore, it's perfect the way it is. The smoke comes out slowly. The smell, the fragrant company. You start playing with it, it's going to ruin it. So therefore, he's not going to do it by the mugmar vekashelehu, and it's going to ruin the clothes. Vekashelehu is going to ruin them. Comes the Gemara and says, and as she says, umashchira begadim. The begadim are going to turn blackened from the smoke. And the same thing with the gofrit. You're not going to move the sulfur because it's going to turn your silver totally black. Oh, unin shel pishtan na meligzor. Betelel allowed you to put the flax in the oven before Shabbat. Oh, so why don't we say it's asu because you might come to stoke the coals? So the Gemara says, hatam. There it's a different reason. Kevan de kasher lehu zika lo maglule. The rule is, by flax that are in an oven, you don't open the oven at all because the air is going to go in. And air damages the bleaching process of the flax. So I'm not worried you might come to stoke the flax because the guy knows not to open the oven at all because the wind is going to come in and ruin it. So in a case where I have a reason to say that the guy's not going to open the oven, why should I go say that he might come to stoke? So comes the Gemara and says, Semel leyore ligzor. One of the things Betelel allowed you to do is Erev Shabbat, take wool, stick it in a cauldron of dye, even though it's getting dyed on Shabbat. Dyeing is asur, but I'm doing it from before Shabbat. So you have no problem of Shevitat Kelim, but maybe you'll come to stoke the coals in order to get the dyeing process. Amar Shemuel, Beyore Akura. We're talking about the cauldron of dye is off the fire. It's not sitting on the fire. So therefore, there's nothing to stoke. There's no coals. It's just boiling hot, let's say, but it's not on the fire. It's in a sealed candy, let's say. It's closed. So what are you going to stoke? There's no coals if it's off the fire. Yore Akura. You want to see the 196, you see Yore Akura. You see the keli over there, there's no fire underneath it, it just has dye in it, and it's got the same in it, as the wool. So the Gemara says, V'nicho sheme magisba. Alright, new isur now. Why don't you suspect, if it's talking about a keli that's off the fire, you might come to mix it. What's these magises to mix? What's the isur of mix? When you have a kli dishon, this is a kli dishon, that's the keli that was on the fire, it's hot from the fire. You took it off. That's called a kli dishon. It's not on the fire. When it's still the heat of a kli dishon, if you mix it, that has the ability to cook. Or according to Tosafot, the way he understands it, by mixing the wool in the actual dye, it's soveya. You're dying. Soveya is one of the things. So either it's mevashel or it's soveya. But I don't want it. You suspect, even if it's off the fire, that you might come to mix it. Gemara answers, Ba'akura v'toha. It's talking about, not only is it off the fire, but it's toha, it's sealed. If you look in 196, you see it's off the fire, it has like a sealant around the opening, in order that you can't open it up, technically. You put, like, say, like tar around it, so therefore you can't pick up the handle on the pot cover on Shabbat. So then we don't suspect that he might come to Megis. He might not. Stoking for sure not. But he won't come to be Megis as well. Mixing it as well. Comes the Gemara and says, V'ashta damar mor gizira shema yachte begehalim. Now that you introduced to me a new item, that there's a concern that with food, you might come to stoke the coals on Shabbat, for example. That's why the asasiyot and the turmusim were forbidden. Now that you introduced me this item, hay kedera haita. If you have, let's say, a pot of raw food, haita is raw, hay. Share la anucha erev Shabbat im hashika betanura. It would be permissible to put raw food in the oven before Shabbat. Why? My tama kevan de lo hazi de urta. Since the food is not going to be ready at night, which means it takes time for that food to cook, what happens? As suche masach date mineh, he takes his mind off of it. Velo ate lechetuye gehalim, he's not going to come to stoke the kelim, the gehalim, the coals. Meaning, if he leaves this food on the oven like it is, it's not going to be ready until Shabbat morning. It'll get ready for Shabbat morning for lunch, let's say. So therefore, he knows stoking, it's not going to get it ready for Friday night. So therefore, in his mind, he takes his mind off. I'll leave it. I'll have it for lunch the next morning. So therefore, why should he come to stoke? Because it went into Shabbat raw. Oh, you'll tell me, what do you mean, Rabbi? But the turmusim were also raw. Yeah, but turmusim, it takes 24 hours to cook. This guy wants his turmusim right after Shabbat to be ready. So sometimes you'll be concerned, the guy will stoke it to speed it up. So Motzei Shabbat, he can have it. These items are going to be ready on Shabbat anyway. Therefore, why should he stoke it on Friday night? Leave it as it is, and he'll eat it Shabbat. So if it's went into Shabbat raw, and it's on the fire, no problem. Because there's no gezerah of Shemeh Yachteh. Comes Gemara and says, Ubashil Shapir Dameh. Also, if something is fully cooked, you also have no problem to put it on the fire before Shabbat. Because why should I come to stoke it? It's fully cooked. Oh, bashil velo bashil asir. But if it's cooked and not cooked, which means partly cooked, is a problem. What is partly cooked? So the way that Tosafot understands bashil velo bashil means the minimum amount of edibility on a food is called ma'akal ben drosai. Yes. Let's say that is, for argument's sake, half cooked. The machloket amongst the rishonim. Meat. Half cooked meat. Half meat. Cooked, sorry. Yeah, meat. Or a third cooked. It's ma'akal ben drosai, it's called. So now, according to Tosafot, he says, anything less than ma'akal ben drosai, let's say half cooked, from after raw to half cooked, that window is called bashil velo bashil. What's the concern? That you cannot put on the fire before Shabbat. Because there, I'll stoke. Because stoking will help me. Why? It'll get it to speed up so I can eat it on Friday night and have it cooked. So therefore, fully raw, no problem. Fully cooked, no problem. Bashil velo bashil, that's that quasi zone. That's already an issue. Now, the ishada be garma haya shapir dame. If you throw in a raw piece of meat into the food before Shabbat, it's okay. You have your bashil velo bashil item. Now you have a problem. You can't put it on the fire before Shabbat. So how do you kosher that up? Take a raw piece of meat and throw it in. Now already the raw piece of meat takes time to cook. So therefore, we said raw food is what? Okay. So there's a way to kosher up a bashir and no bashir mixture by throwing in a raw piece of meat. The Gemara says, Be'ashta damar mor. Now that we learned, kol midi de kashe lezika. We gave a rule. Anytime we say that if the wind or if the air damages the item, lo maglune, so you're not going to open up the oven, like in the case of the flax. We said, what's the reason why the flax are okay? That you're not going to come to a stoke? Because you have to open up the oven. And since the air ruins it, that already will deter him. So comes the Gemara and says, hay bisrat de gadya. You have basar of a gedi. What is a gedi?
Gedi is a kid, a young goat. Vesharik, that she says, Sharik piat tanur betit saviv kisui, which means you took the young goat, but as she says, this tender meat, the wind is not good for it. The air is not good for it. So therefore, what do? You put this tender meat in the oven, where the wind is anyway not good. And you seal the oven with tar, therefore you can't even open up the door. So the Gemara says, you have two, again, you have two positives here. It's gadya, it's kid meat, that kasher is, you got it, the wind is detrimental, and you also were sharik, you actually sealed the oven, so you're two for two, shapir dame. No problem. For sure should be mutar on to do that Erev Shabbat. De barha velo sharik. Barha would be the meat of a big ram. Whereas she says the air is not detrimental to it. It's tougher meat. And therefore the wind is not detrimental. And velo sharik, you left the oven unsealed. So in this case you're 0 for 2. But you have two negatives. The wind is not detrimental and you left it unsealed. Asur. That would be Asur. 2 for 2 mutar, 0 for 2, 2 negatives, Asur. So the Gemara says now, De gadya velo sharik, de barha ve sharik. What if you're 1 for 2? Meaning, you have gadya. Well, that's a negative. Well, that's a positive, because gadi, the wind damages it. So that's a deterrent. However, velo sharik, but the oven is not sealed. That's a problem. So you have one positive, one negative. Or, de barha b'sharik. Or you have the ram meat, which is a positive in the sense that... I'm sorry. The barha meat is a problem because the air doesn't affect it. However, v'sharik. But it's sealed. Again, you're picking the one positive in each case. La v'asheh shareh. La v'asheh says you have one deterrent, it's enough. V'rav Yirmiyah medifti, asir. The machloket between Rav Asher and Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Asher deshari, according to Rav Asher that says one deterrent is enough. We have a beraita, we have a mishnah, that tenan. It says en solin basar batzal ubetza ela kedesh yitzolu mebeod yom. It says you're not allowed to roast meat and other items, but for our purpose we're going to focus on the meat. You cannot roast the meat from Erev Shabbat unless it's fully cooked. What are you talking about? It sounds like according to this, even if we're talking about where you have, let's say, one positive, which means even if, let's say, you're talking about ayil, it doesn't make a difference what type of meat we have over here. It says even if it's talking about, let's say, meat that the wind is beneficial to it, still he's allowing you to do it, which means he's not making a chiluk over here, what type of meat is permissible. So the Gemara says, again, v'atenah, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? En solin basar, batzal, ubetza, ela kedesh yitzu be'od yom. And when it says basar is forbidden, it's mashma, even if, let's say, you have a deterrent, still it's forbidden. While according to Rav Asher, he said, if you have one deterrent already, it's okay. So the Gemara says, no, hatam de barcha velo sharik. You know what the type of meat we're talking about over there? We have two negatives. You have ram meat, and lo sharik, the oven is not sealed. So you're 0 for 2. That's what type of meat that was forbidden in the Mishnah to put on Erev Shabbat. Because you might come to stoke the coals. However, if you had even one deterrent, mutar. Don't bring me a question from that Mishnah that says basar is asur. What type of basar is asur? Basar of a ram, where the wind is okay for it, and it's thrown with the oven is not sealed. Well, that's forbidden. But if the oven was sealed, or it was gedi meat, mutar. No question on the basar. Ikadam, you have a different version. De gadya. When it comes to gedi meat, ben sharik, ben lo sharik, shapir dame. Whether the oven is sealed, or the oven is not sealed, everybody says mutar. That's your 1 for 2 even. Everybody will agree is okay. One positive. Fact is, it's gedi meat. Even if the oven is open, no problem. De barcha name, and on the ram meat, the sharik, and the oven is
sealed, Shapir Dame, everybody agrees as well. Now, being the oven is closed and sealed, you have one positive. According to this version, everybody agrees if you're 1 for 2, you're okay. In the last version, the 1 for 2 case was a machloka between Rav Ashi and Rav Yirmiyah. In this version, if you have one deterrent, either it's gedimit or it's sealed, everybody says mutar. So where's the argument between Rav Ashi and Rav Yirmiyah? Ki pelige de barha velo sharik. The argument is when you're 0 for 2. When you have the ram meat and the oven is not sealed. Even in that you have a machloket. What's the machloket? The Rav Ashi shari. Rav Ashi will say, it's still permissible. We don't suspect that you're going to come to stoke. Rav Yirmiyah medifte asir. And Rav Yirmiyah medifte says asur. Comes again when it says, Rav Ashi de shari. Rav Ashi that says, even if you have 2 negatives, it's still permissible. V'atenan, didn't we learn in the Mishnah? En solin basar batalu betza ila kedushi yitzulim be'od yom. You're not allowed to roast meat be'erev Shabbat. And it sounds like any meat. Which is certainly if you have 2 things against you, meaning you have ram meat with the oven unsealed. So the Gemara says, nah. Hatam bebisra agumre. That case was not talking about where you're putting the meat in the oven. No, it was talking about you're putting the meat on the coals. Directly on the coals. Even Rav Ashi, that was very lenient, it was only lenient by an oven. In an oven, it's not sitting on the coals. So I don't suspect, even though the wind doesn't affect it, even though the oven is not sealed, I don't suspect you're going to come to stoke. That's Rav Ashi's item. But when you put them directly on the coals, sitting on the coals themselves, they're right there, the coals. They're still sitting in front of your face. That's much easier to come and stoke. So don't ask me from the Mishnah that did not allow you to put meat on Erev Shabbat. I wasn't talking about in the oven. That was agumre. On the coals itself, very easily to come and stoke the meat. So that's the way Rav Ashi will answer that Mishnah. Amar Avina, we conclude with the last din. Avina taught, Haikra Haya, raw gourd. That's like a squash. That's raw. Shapir Dame. It's permissible to put it in the oven from before Shabbat. Raw. Why? Kevan de kashe lezika. Since the wind, the air, is detrimental to it, kebisra de gadya dame. It is like basar of a gedi. Now, we learned that according to what we just said, everybody will allow basar gedi, which is according to the second version, so long as you have one deterrent, it is permissible. So therefore, according to the second version, where one deterrent according to everybody is permissible, so a raw piece of gourd, karach haya, would be permissible to put in the oven before Shabbat. Why? Kasher lezika. The wind is detrimental to us. You're not going to open the oven, just like by basar gedi. And therefore, everybody would say it would be permissible to put karach haya without having a problem. So bottom line, the difference between the two versions of the case of the meats is, according to the first version, everybody agrees if you have 2 reasons not to stoke, permissible. If you have 2 reasons to stoke, asur. Machloket, you only have 1 deterrent. Either it's basar gedi, or the oven is sealed by basar ayil. Machloket Rav Ashi matir, and then miyam edifti osir. Second version, if you have 1 deterrent, everybody agrees. Either it's basar gedi or the oven is sealed by ayil mutar. Where's the argument? We have no deterrent. Meaning it's basar ayil and it is unsealed oven. And still Rav Ashi says mutar. What do you mean? We have a Mishnah later on that says you can't put any meat on the fire before Shabbat. Ah, that's on the coals. What's the difference? Coals, you come to stoke, it's right there. Much more easier. But in the oven, it would be mutar. In the previous shiurim, and in the upcoming shiurim, we are, and have been referring to different pictures of the different cases that the daf is referring to. We are using a sefer called Perush Hai,
And therefore, if our listeners want to purchase the Pirush Chai and follow along as we announce the numbers in that book where these pictures are, it would be a tremendous aid in order to understand the cases more clearly.